Hi, my name is Harold Horgan, CEO of the York Group. For more than 20 years, we have been working with ISVs to help them develop and implement their business strategies. One of the biggest challenges facing ISVs today is adapting their business model to cloud-based technologies being sold on a subscription basis. We have worked with thousands of ISVs worldwide, giving us a unique insight into the issues you have to deal with. Microsoft has asked me to share our experiences through this series of webinars. There are a total of 11 modules covering almost every aspect of the cloud business model, and combined, they are intended to give you the guidance you need to be successful in the cloud. This first module is an overview of the key business model changes you will need to consider. As you go through it, make a note of the topics that are most relevant to you and come back to view the models that go into more detail on that particular topic. I will start by looking at the elements of the business model that will change when you move to the cloud. I will then walk you through the key elements of the cloud business model with an emphasis on the need for automation. I will also cover some of the major strategic decisions you will be faced with and wrap up by comparing cloud and on-premise business models. Let's start by looking at what changes. First of all, you will need to come up with a subscription pricing model. If you are selling an on-premise perpetual license, how much should you charge for a monthly subscription? Moving to a subscription model changes your cash flow dramatically. How do you manage the transition? One of the biggest changes, and often one that is underestimated, is the impact on sales and marketing. Sales compensation and sales roles change, but there's also been a dramatic shift in marketing, away from traditional push marketing to a more buyer-centric approach. In many cases, the target market will be different. Some companies want to avoid cannibalizing their on-premise sales, so they don't want to sell software as a service to their regular prospects. Others move to a subscription model to open new markets, for example, selling more to small and mid-sized companies that might not have the budget to pay for perpetual licenses. And the contractual relationship with your clients and partners changes. You might use a service level agreement instead of an end user license agreement. You have to decide whether you want to have a month-to-month agreement or lock your clients in for longer terms. Finally, customer support is undergoing changes as well. Because the transaction value is lower, companies are using more automation to support their clients, as well as building communities where users help each other before contacting the vendor. And that's all that changes. Other than pricing, cash flow, sales and marketing, target markets, contracts, and customer support, everything else in your business model stays the same. There are a lot of moving parts, and this is what concerns many ISVs. So the question they ask is, what is the right formula for success? This is the most common question we get, so we spend some time pulling together our experience and our research to come up with a formula that is simple and easy to remember. The formula for success is... Any questions? No? Then I guess my job is done. Now, the reason for using this slide is because when there is uncertainty, there is a perception of complexity. And building a successful cloud business doesn't have to be as difficult or complicated as many people think it is. At the end of the day, every business, regardless of the product or service, comes down to three basic principles. Somebody makes something, somebody sells something, and somebody buys something. Since the beginning of commerce, this is what it always comes down to. And as a company, it is your objective to find the best and least expensive way to make something without compromising quality, find the best way to sell the solution, and make it easy for clients to buy the product and get the necessary support. Now, let's look at the key elements of a cloud business model. I will start by using the build, sell, buy model to show how the business model typically works for on-premise software. Your goal is to get your product into the hands of as many end users as possible, and you basically have three ways to do this. First, you can sell direct. This can be a direct sales force for more expensive, complex solutions, or web-based sales and delivery for simple, high-volume products. Second, you go through partners. And there are many categories of partners. They can include project services, resellers, managed services, and OEM white label partners. The common thread is that they have the direct contact with the end user, and ideally spend their own time and money on selling and supporting the solution on your behalf. Finally, some products can go through two-tier distribution. These are normally high-volume, standardized solutions sold through a large network of partners where it makes sense to use a distributor to handle the payment and delivery logistics. Now, let's apply the same build, sell, buy model to cloud solutions and see what changes and what stays the same. In the build phase, you have to make a choice. Do you go multi-tenant, rewriting your solution so that it can run on Azure as a platform? Or do you take your .NET solution and host it on Azure as infrastructure? We'll come back to this later in this webinar because it is one of the first and most critical decisions you need to make. You still need marketing and sales. You can't simply post your solution on a marketplace or app store and hope that the world will beat a path to your door. But as mentioned earlier, there are significant differences in marketing and selling a sales solution, and Microsoft has developed a number of webinars that will walk you through these differences. On the buy side, you will want to make it as easy as possible to provision the solution and to provide after-sales support. The thing that really makes the cloud business model different is automation, and it impacts every aspect of the business. Because subscriptions generate less cash upfront, it is essential to reduce the cost of building, selling, provisioning, and supporting the product, and this can best be done through automation. So, if automation is so important, what is it? It's the infrastructure, the plumbing you need to reduce human involvement and drive down your costs. Again, looking at it from the build, sell, buy model, we can identify the elements that can be automated. In the build phase, it involves licensing, installation, provisioning, managing, maintaining, and upgrading the application. For most applications, the licensing process has to be quick and easy so that it doesn't become a barrier to selling. Some companies ask us why we include installation and upgrading on the list, because the perception is that SaaS is all browser-based. The reality is that many pure SaaS solutions require client software to be installed with the user. Think about storage solutions such as OneDrive, backup software such as Mozilla and Carbonite, or online meeting software such as Link. All of them require client software, which means that installation, patching, and upgrades have to be seamless and painless for the end user. On the sell and buy side of the equation, you will want to use as much marketing automation as possible to reduce the customer acquisition cost, a key metric we will discuss in more detail in our webinar on financial metrics for SaaS companies. You'll want to decide whether you maintain your own storefront and e-commerce site, use a marketplace, or a combination. What are the billing and payment options? Will it be monthly, quarterly, annually? Do you want to build a portal to help manage and support customers and partners? And what can you do to increase the value of a client relationship? We'll come back to this a bit later today in this webinar, but it is extremely important to monetize every client relationship you have. For ISVs, moving to the cloud makes many things more complicated, especially in getting the business established. The good news is that there are a lot of automation tools that will make your life easier. You still need to make the business decisions, but there are enabling tools that will provide the automation for you. Here are some examples of solutions for billing, provisioning, metering, and help desk that are fully integrated with Azure. There are other solutions available, and we would encourage you to use existing tools whenever possible. Now, I want to spend a few minutes to give you an overview of the business and distribution models that are available and how we see them being applied to different market segments. We generally break the overall market into three major segments: high-volume, low-price products that are sold to consumers, individuals in a business, or very small businesses. The mid-market would range from the SMB market to what is called the upper mid-market. By volume, this represents the largest number of businesses in just about any country. At the upper end are complex solutions sold into large enterprises. At the low end of the market, automated sales and marketing is the key, and this is true for on-premise software as well as SaaS. The transaction value is so low that you cannot justify salespeople or channel partners. In the upper mid-market and enterprise markets, the solutions are more complex and more expensive, the sales cycles are longer, and there is often a requirement for services during the implementation. This requires a much higher touch approach. Now, let's look at the business and distribution models that are best suited for each segment. At the low end, the dominant models are marketplaces and web-based sales, high levels of automation and low costs per transaction. For very high volume products, hosters and distributors can be options. Both are set up to handle large volumes of smaller transactions. In the mid-market, we will see some of the same distribution models, but as the transaction values and margins per sale increase, it opens the door for indirect models, going through managed service providers, resellers, and referral partners. Finally, at the upper end of the market, we don't see the model changing. Whether the solution is on-premise or delivered in the cloud, the transactions will be large, the sales cycles will be long, and there will be services involved in the implementation. In the enterprise space, any new solution needs to be integrated into an existing environment, and rarely can this be done straight out of the browser. What will happen over time, though, and this is important to have in mind as you start committing to a business model, is that the upper end of the market will start to shrink. The primary reason is that cloud solutions will move upmarket and bring their distribution channels with them. To be honest, many SaaS solutions today are relatively simple, low-end solutions that are not usable in the enterprise market. However, they will add functionality, become more enterprise-ready over time, but they won't necessarily change their go-to-market approach. I mention this because of the impact it will have on the channel. Over time, many of today's channel partners will be squeezed out. If they don't go upstream and become more of a services company catering to large enterprises or change their business model to be more automated and volume-based, their existing business will shrink. We see this with Office 365, where transaction-based partners are having a tough time making the transition, while services-based companies are doing much better. So if channels are part of your strategy, you will want to make sure you are dealing with partners who know where they are going. As you start moving to the cloud, there are a number of fundamental decisions you will need to make before you even start thinking about sales, marketing, channels, etc. If you don't lay the right foundation today, you will pay a big price later. In many ways, you are at the proverbial fork in the road, deciding whether or how fast you want to move into the cloud. For many of you, the cloud will be opportunistic. You will have a cloud offering because someone might insist on that as a delivery model. So it becomes a save the deal situation for you. But you still focus your time and resources on the on-premise perpetual license model. For others, the cloud is strategic. This doesn't mean that you have to be all in, leaving the on-premise business model behind and only doing cloud and subscriptions. But it does mean that you want it to be a significant part of your business and that you will dedicate resources to make it happen. If it is strategic, it will impact many aspects of your business, including your product architecture, your target markets, and your go-to-market strategy. For those of you who see the cloud as being strategic, this webinar series will provide you the guidance you need to make the right decisions. For those who see it as being opportunistic, it will allow you to make an informed decision, and in some cases, it might answer enough of your concerns to start making some changes. Now, let's look at some of the strategic decisions. All in is a pretty popular phrase these days, but is it the right choice for you? Some high-profile companies have made the choice to phase out perpetual licenses completely and only sell their solutions as a service. Adobe is an example of this. But for most companies, it will not be an all or nothing. While SaaS is growing very quickly, it is still less than 10% of the overall enterprise spending on software. The majority of the market is still on-prem. So for many of you, even if you see recurring revenues as the way you want to go, you will want to give your clients a choice. At the end of the day, you want to maximize your revenues by responding to market needs. In the CRM market, SaaS is becoming the default model, while ERP is still very much on-premise. I mentioned earlier in the webinar that one of the first critical decisions you have to make is the choice of architecture. Do you go true multi-tenant, or do you go with a hosted virtual machine version of the product? There is still some confusion about terminology. You can have multiple tenants on a single virtual machine, but you have to pay for the full VM whether you have one or eight tenants on the environment. So, while you do have multiple tenants, you don't have a multi-tenant product architecture. In a true multi-tenant environment, everyone is on the same code base and they all share a single database license, but with partitions to avoid commingling of data. The driver for many companies when choosing the architecture is the cost of rewriting the application. With the ASP or VM model, very few modifications, if any, have to be made to the product. In many cases, clients don't really know or care about the difference. They just know that the application runs on someone else's hardware, they can access it through a browser, and they pay for it on a monthly basis. For ISVs that choose this route, it gives them an opportunity to have a cloud offering at little cost and work on transitioning the business model. At some point, though, the cost of supporting all those virtual machines and perhaps multiple versions of the product become greater than the cost of rewriting the product. Multi-tenant architecture will drive down the operating costs and allow an ISV to scale the business much faster. Another consideration when it comes to product architecture for a multi-platform product is whether you want to be SaaS, the pure software application layer, or whether you want your solution to be a platform on which others can add value. There is a growing school of thought that pure SaaS products will become a commodity, that customers can easily switch to other products with similar functionality if they get a better price. And stickiness is really important with SaaS. you want to prevent your clients from going elsewhere. I will start by using a well-known example. There is a segment of the market that thinks that Office productivity suites are becoming a commodity, that Google Docs and Office 365 are more or less interchangeable. We see this in many other markets, such as CRM. For this reason, Microsoft is encouraging ISVs to build solutions on top of SharePoint. This can be simple add-ons and extensions or full-blown applications. The reasoning is that customers who use other applications and incorporate them into their business processes will find it more difficult to move to another Office productivity suite. SharePoint and the associated applications become the glue that makes the client relationship sticky. We see the same thing in CRM. Both Dynamics CRM and Salesforce.com have built large ecosystems of developers that have their own applications running on Dynamics CRM or Salesforce as the underlying platform. We have talked about cloud solutions being a technical platform, but it is also a platform for revenues. The first sale is really the Trojan horse, the foot in the door to establish the relationship. The success is to expand the relationship to drive more revenues for you and your partners. You will be spending money to acquire the customers, and anything you can do to grow the revenues per client improves the return on that initial investment. There are a lot of revenue sources, including services. Services do not go away just because it is SaaS, especially in the enterprise space. There are usually requirements for implementation, including integration, data migration, business process reengineering, and more. The revenues should also grow from organic growth, such as more users within the company, adding new modules and functionality, training new users, customs applications, and so on. We're also seeing a lot of cross-selling, where vendors with non-competitive solutions pay each other referral fees. When dealing with a client, SaaS is a platform for ongoing communications. In fact, ongoing communications is a requirement if you want to succeed. With on-prem, many vendors sell a license, provide support, and make sure they get the maintenance agreement renewed, but there isn't any form of proactive account management until a renewal cycle comes into play, and it is time to sell the new version of the product to a client. In some cases, the only form of communication takes place when the customer calls to complain about something that isn't working. With SaaS, clients can vote with their feet. If they are no longer happy with the product or the vendor, or simply found something they like better, they can decide not to renew you and go someplace else. You have to stay in regular contact with the client to make sure they are using the product, know how to use all of the features, and stay satisfied enough to keep renewing the agreement. I want to close by returning to the opening theme, that underlying business principles tend to stay the same. Yes, there are a lot of things that will change when you move to the cloud. But when you look at the business models side by side, they aren't as different as you might think. Let's look at the revenue sources in an on-premise business model. There is the initial license sale, which is an important component. But there are usually services revenues for the implementation, and in many cases, some custom app development for a particular client. And finally, there is the maintenance contract, which provides a recurring revenue stream that is usually 20% of the license list price. Now, let's look at the cloud business model and see what the differences are. The biggest difference, of course, is the initial revenues coming from the sale, and this is what most ISVs are concerned about. The typical conversion rate for on-prem to SaaS is roughly 50%. In other words, an on-prem license selling for $100,000 would convert to an annual SaaS payment of roughly $50,000, so during the first year there would be a 50% reduction in revenues from this component. However, as mentioned earlier, the services component is often the same for SaaS as it is for on-premise. It is just that the services mix might be different. The good news is that the services associated with SaaS are often higher value services. Instead of servers and network implementation, which are low margin services, there are integration and business process reengineering services, which produce higher margins. This is especially important if you're working with partners. The final component is the recurring revenues, and this is all good news. Instead of getting 20% for maintenance, you're getting 50% or more of the license price as a SaaS subscription. So on an ongoing basis, you get a much better margin from these recurring revenues. As you go through your transition planning, we would strongly recommend using a structured framework to make sure that you don't miss anything. A widely used framework is the Business Model Canvas, and this template is available as a download. You'll find training modules from me and others that cover all the topics on the Canvas, and it is an effective tool for organizing your thoughts. If you have any questions on how to use it or what the different headings mean, simply do a search on Business Model Canvas and you will find a wide range of tutorials. In this webinar, we covered many of the high-level issues that you should consider as you transition your business to the cloud. it doesn't have to be an all-or-nothing decision. For many of you, it will be an extension of your current business, but make it an important extension rather than being opportunistic and reactive. Automation throughout the business cycle will be essential, from sales and marketing through to customer support. It can be okay to start with a hosted version of your on-premise application, but a true multi-tenant architecture will allow you to scale faster and more cost-effectively. Look for ways to make your product sticky with your clients to reduce the potential for churn. You will be investing sales and marketing resources to bring on board every new client. Focus on monetizing those relationships by expanding the revenues you get from each and every client. Thank you for taking the time to view this webinar. As mentioned during the introduction, it is part of a series of webinars that Microsoft has put together to help you be successful with your cloud solution. So I would encourage you to view other webinars or cover topics that are relevant to you. You should also feel free to contact me if there are any questions or issues that I can help with.